would just, right where you are, just begin to pray that God would speak to this world. God would speak to this world through His gospel, by the power of His Spirit. That the harvest would be brought in. That prodigals would run home as fast as they can. Oh God. Oh God, you set them free from their bondages, God. Free them from darkness. Free them from deception. Free them from sin, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh God, give us souls, Lord. Give us souls, God. Give us these souls, God. Jesus has asked you for them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. We magnify you, God. We magnify your name, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you. Oh, God, we thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. God. Blessed. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Oh God, you have spoken good things over us. Lord, you have opened your hand wide, and in your hand it satisfies every living thing. The Lord, in your hand is Jesus. The satisfaction of all things, every heart, every life, every longing, every marriage, every relationship. The fulfillment and the satisfaction of it is Jesus. We love you today, God. We just gather here tonight in this room in the name of Jesus to declare to you, God, that we desire to be with you. We want your presence, God. We want your presence, God. Oh, Father, we're seeking you, God. We desire, God, that everything would be to your pleasure, to your glory, to your honor, the songs that we sing, prayers that we pray, the words that we speak, God, that they would be edifying and comforting and exhortive to the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we bind Satan in the name of Jesus. Every distraction, every oppression, every cloud that he puts or tries to put before us. Lord, we thank you for ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. We thank you, God, for eyes to see the cloud that moves by day, the fire that moves by night. Oh, Father, we thank you for the Spirit of the Lord that you have given to us. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Just thank you for coming tonight. If you will, you can make your way back to your seats. I just want to thank you for coming tonight. I want to speak to you tonight for just a few minutes. Just something that I believe has been stirred in my spirit and in my heart. And I just pray that you would just ask the Lord to watch over my mouth and my lips. And that I would only speak the things that God would want me to speak. I want to thank you for praying with us. Those of you that have been able to come. It's good to see you, Scooter. Are you over it? Scooter's got a kidney stone and he's going to have a procedure. We'll pray for you tonight. Amen. So we want to just let everyone know that we have been gathering for prayer this week. We've been gathering every night about 6 o'clock and a little bit earlier than that actually. And we're just praying. We're just really seeking the Lord. We're spending this week fasting. And I've just asked you however the Lord would lead you to fast. Whatever it would be that would distract you from the presence of God, would cloud your mind, cloud your understanding, to just remove yourself from that. I love to watch the news, but I just can't, and I'm not going to watch it because it affects me and it influences me. And I just want to spend time before the Lord, music, movies, whatever it may be. This Sunday is Pentecost. Amen? Pentecost Sunday. A great feast of the Lord. And so we actually started this time in prayer knowing that Pentecost was just 7 days away this past Sunday when I just felt in my spirit the Lord said, pray. And so fast and pray. So I said, I'm going to do that. And anybody that can, And look, I know I said it at the last minute. Said it Sunday. Okay, y'all, we're going to... I just was in my spirit at that moment to do it, you know? And so I understand you have to... The next day was Memorial Day. It's the day we eat and everything, you know, barbecue. And so I understand that. Nobody's condemning you or things like that. And I know that you've got plans. I know there are things that you have scheduled this week that you couldn't get out of. There's no condemnation in that. But if you're able to come and pray with us the next few days, please do it. We'll be here through Saturday night praying. For sure every evening at 6 o'clock, but we're probably here about 5:30 for sure in here praying. And I just thank you for joining us. And I want to say this to you because I really believe that the Lord just corrected me. I think it was Monday night in the prayer meeting. And He brought a correction to me, and I knew immediately it was the Spirit of the Lord, because I knew that what my objective was, or even what my pursuits were, the Lord just corrected it. Because I was praying and I was desiring that God would fill us with the Holy Spirit, and that on Sunday there'd just be a great outpouring of God's Spirit in our life. And I just long for that. I long for everyone to be filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. You know, so we're praying this week, Lord, remove anything that's distracting me from You. I want to be filled with Your Spirit. And the Spirit of the Lord just really said to me, I have already come. You're not waiting on anything from Me. You don't need to wait till Sunday to be filled with My Spirit. I came 2,000 years ago to My church, and I am still here, and I will fill anybody that asks Me. Anybody that's hungry will eat. Anybody that's thirsty will drink. You don't have to wait for a feast day for Me to visit My church. Every promise is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. I have given to You My Son. How much more will I freely give all things to You? And I just had to confess that to the prayer meeting that night, and I confess it to you. So let's just walk uprightly with the Lord, that the promise, Jesus opened heaven for His church. And so we can receive right now. But then I really believe the Lord showed me further. I'm speaking through the feast to the nation of Israel, and I'm speaking through the feast to the world. That's who I'm speaking to. And I started to just have a greater faith to believe God for an outpouring and a move of God, for God to speak to the world now, of course, but just on this feast, that God would just do something so demonstrative to the glory of Jesus Christ to the nation of Israel. That God would just declare something. Do you know that on Passover, which is when this pandemic somewhat began, that Israel, the Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel, told the Jewish people throughout Israel, listen, we will not gather together publicly during this pandemic. This Passover will be like the first Passover. It will be observed in your homes. God was speaking. God was reminding all of the Jews throughout all of Israel that we have been brought back to the very beginning at this past Passover. What might God do to speak to Israel this Pentecost? Now that's, I just pray it stirs in you to believe. But He not only speaks to Israel, but He desires to speak to the world. Because when God spoke in the first Passover, to the nation of Israel, He also spoke to Egypt. He was declaring to Egypt that He was the true God. He was trying to free Egyptians from their oppression and bondage to false gods. And so the Lord wanted to free Egypt as well. They did not hear Him. Pharaoh hardened his heart. And so I just even believe that we might see in this feast and thereafter, we might begin to see a bringing in of the harvest of this end times. A multitude of Jews, a multitude of those that are in the Muslim faith, a multitude of those that are just lost in paganism without God, that God would do something in this earth to reveal and to declare His Son Jesus Christ. And I don't believe it's going to occur apart from the church. I believe it is going to be in union with the church that the Lord desires to move. And so we've just been posturing ourselves in prayer this week, and I believe these last 2 months, we've been posturing ourselves before God, just saying to the Lord, we want to serve You. We want to be used. We want you to visit us and use us in this world, in these last days. However you want to do it, we truly desire to be used. And I just believe that's something that really gets into your spirit. I believe it's something that you can bear witness to. And I pray that you will exercise that with us. So even if you can't come up here for prayer, or for whatever reasons, please seek a way to fast the remainder of this week. And seek the opportunities to get away with God and pray. That not only just for yourself or for your lost loved ones, but pray for this body of Christ, that we would be used of God in a supernatural and mighty way. You know, I've heard people say, how do you reach the young people? The Holy Spirit knows how. He knows how to do it. We don't have to come up with a program to do that. You know, but I've heard that all my life. You know, well, if you're going to reach this culture, you've got to do this. Listen, all I know is the Holy Ghost sent two men to the temple. One man was there lame. And the Holy Ghost moved on those two men to raise him up in the name of Jesus. And 5,000 men got saved that day because of the word that they preached. But the Holy Spirit knew how to get their attention. I'll heal a lame man. The Holy Spirit will do supernatural things through His church to give us the platform to preach the gospel, because it is through the preaching of the gospel that men are saved. Not because they saw a miracle. In Acts chapter 4, it does not say that 5,000 men got saved because they saw a miracle. They got saved because they believed the word that Peter preached. And so I just want us to have that in our hearts and believe God for that, that we would see the wonders of God for the glory of Jesus Christ. And I just thank you for joining with me in that and believing God with me for that. I want to talk to you tonight. This is pastoral tonight, okay? I just want to speak to you as a pastor. I want to identify to you that I care so much to follow God. I care so much for the things of God to be able to be done in this earth. That is greater to me than my desires or your desires or our desires collectively as a church. I want to follow the Lord. About 32 years ago, we celebrate our 34 years as a church this September. And 2 years into that, I was very fatigued and overrun with ministry because I'm extremely proud and competitive. And I was just trying to do everything that I would know to do, failing miserably at everything. And even to this day, failing miserably at everything. I really mean that. But in that moment when I was fatigued and I was exhausted and my wife and I just did not have a really close relationship. We loved each other. We didn't have, because I was so busy with the church and I was doing everything you're supposed to do. And I was day and night, you know, just in prayer meetings and running through the day and visiting people and calling and all of this. And I just said to the Lord, I've had enough. If this is ministry, you got the wrong guy. I cannot keep this pace up. I don't want to do this. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. And I'm not going to be able to finish this race like this. I just thank God that I messed up and I really didn't hear you. And then the Lord brought me to Ezekiel 44:16, where He spoke to me and He set me free that day. And He has given me the grace to be able to walk in this freedom, which I believe is supernatural. Now, this is what He has called upon me. He brought this to me by the Holy Spirit. But what He says in Ezekiel 44 is, this is my desire, that my ministers will approach my table and draw near to me and minister to me. And when God said that to me, that was my only objective in life, is that I want to draw near to God and I want to live close to the Lord and I want to minister to Him. I want what He wants. I want Him to have what He wants to have. That's what I want to give Him. And it's not to say that I'm not influenced with other things. Man, I'd love for 10,000 people to be in here. I'd love to be speaking to 50,000 people tonight. I would love that. My flesh would love that. I would devour that in pride. I really would. And that's probably why I don't get to have crowds like that, because I would just devour it in pride and God would just be so unpleased with that spirit that would be in me. So whatever the Lord wants, I'm not saying that these things don't come against me and influence me in some of those ways. And He keeps me free. He keeps me humble. He keeps me broken before Him. And that is what I truly desire. And so I say that because I have spoken to numbers of pastors all across our country. I speak to them every day, every week. I've been speaking to them for about 3 months. And I would say upwards of around 150 to 160 pastors that I'm having conversations with, praying with, ministering with. So you just do the math on that, and it can be somewhat exhausting, all right? But our desire is that we need to know the mind of God, and we need to serve God, and we need to serve God together, and we need to help one another, and we need to be accountable to one another. And praise God, our church has been able to send support and help out to pastors and ministers and people that need help. Thank the Lord we've been able to do that. Our counsel and our prayers as a church have helped ministers in order to be able to make decisions. I just thank God for all of that. But the overwhelming majority of pastors have said to me very clearly, there is something going on in the church in our country. There is something happening. And I've even had other pastors in South America, and I've had pastors in Europe tell me the same thing. There is something going on in the church that is very dangerous. And the common statement that practically all of these people are making is there is a great wall of divide that now has come into the body of Christ. And this divide is very, very strong. And this divide seems to be so hostile between the two groups that we fear if this were to ever end, this pandemic were to ever end, and liberties were brought back the way that they used to be, we don't know that we will see the same face in our congregation anymore. Because we believe the hostility that has occurred between the way people approach this pandemic has been different. And there has been disrespect in both parts as far as the body of Christ is concerned. Let me spell it out a little bit more clearly. Those that have exercised in themselves a faith to be able to get out, move about the community, go to church, do some things like that, are not handling that the way that others would. And those people that are getting out may assume, falsely judge, wrongly accuse people who are not getting out as not having faith, not having a great faith in the Lord, having an immaturity in them, having something that is wrong in their walk. And that is wrong. That is absolutely tragic. And the body of Christ cannot afford to have that. The other side of this is the group of people that may not get out. And therefore, they might have disdain or disrespect towards those that are getting out. And instead of having a mutual respect in a day that is absolutely confusing. How many of you can say that? Even our scientists are confused. They have given us conflicting messages from the beginning of this pandemic. They told us this is how it spread. Now they're telling us last week, you really can't catch it very easily from a surface. And so all of the sanitation, not that that's irrelevant, but maybe it wasn't as necessary as we thought that it was. And then we were told you not to wear a mask. Then we're told that you should wear a mask. And now we're told for the good of others, wear a mask and do these things. So there's been confusing that we're going to have this many people die. We were not going to have enough hospitals. We were not going to have enough ventilators. And there wasn't one place in our country that ever experienced that. Not one. Now we thank God for that, right? Aren't you glad a million people didn't die? Isn't it tragic that anybody did die? That is absolutely tragic. But we thank God that what they were projecting never occurred. And we've heard reports. It's not because so much that the shut-in or the lock-in and the ability to flatten the curve was that some groups have said that's not really the answer. The real reason is they're using faulty numbers and data in order to get an accurate reading of this. So there, even in the science community, there's been conflict over these issues. And we as American people, we're curious people, right? That's why we're free, you know? And so we listen to these things and we try to make honest evaluations of stuff, and we try to do what we believe is right. We pray. We try to do what God would want us to do. We think of what is best for our God, best for our church, best for our community. Oh God, what do we, but it's not just so clear cut. But it is for this side. It's very clear cut. And it is for this side. It's very clear cut. And if you're not on my side doing it the way that I believe it should be done, I say to you, you are wrong. And there is an animosity in me toward you. And this side says, well, I just say that you're wrong because you're not doing it my way. And I have an animosity toward you. And rather than the body of Christ being able to believe the Holy Ghost to maintain unity, there becomes this spirit of accusation. And so I say to you, not for me, I don't believe that I will ever live and die with much peace in my life as a minister. I've just resigned myself to that. I'm going to fight battles every day. I'm going to deal with hell every moment. I'm going to wake up on some day and say, oh God, this is going to be a beautiful day. Vacation in California, watch the pro tennis players play, and all of a sudden the country shuts down. Oh God. And you're on the phone every day for 10 days, every day, dealing with stuff, you know. So it's just life. It's just the way it is. I'll rest when I get home. I'll lay the weapons down when I get home. This is what it is. I'm chosen to be this. I'm chosen to do this. And it's all, I'm going to dwell with you. I'm going to live close to you. I'm going to minister to you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to be in your presence, God. That is my desire. And that is the longing of my heart. It really, really is. And I want all of you to have that. So I come before you tonight because, far God, I have told you, I've preached to you out of Isaiah that I believe the Lord says, for a moment, go to your homes. And when this passes, this problem in the world passes, that it's going to pass. You're going to come out of your homes. And then the Lord says, and then I will come to the inhabitants of the earth and I will judge them. I believe that's the tribulation period. I believe with all of my heart that when we come out of our homes, if this is where we are and this is the edge of the world, we've been pushed over the cliff. I believe this from here to here is the beginning of tribulation. Somewhere in this fall is the rapture of the church. I don't know how long it's going to take us to get from here to here. I don't know. I know that I am a person with a lot of problems in my life. I know I am probably one of the most difficult persons to get along with if you've ever tried to get along with me. You look at me from a distance, oh, you know, he's just got everything together. He does. I've told you, I never tell you that I do. And so I don't know how long we have, but what I say to you tonight is this. For God's sake, we need to endeavor to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace if God is to bring the harvest of the world in from here to here. And if the church comes out of this fighting itself, divided, walls of division, that hinder it from being able to minister to one another. If the church cannot minister to itself, how can it minister to anybody else? And I believe with all of my heart it is the desire of God and a test from God for His church. Because judgment begins in the house of the Lord first. And God's come to shake the earth and He'll shake everything in it. And I believe He's shaking the church. And I think a lot of things have been exposed in me. I think a lot of attitudes have been exposed in me. And I want to be able to admit those things and lay those things before God. And I believe that they've been exposed in the church. And I can't really do much. Maybe in some ways I can. But I can say this. For First New Testament Church, I am compelling you as your pastor. Though I have a problem with myself every single day, I'm able to get along with myself. I'm able to do what I need to do. There's not a day that doesn't go by. I'll hit myself, as it were, and say, what in the world are you thinking? Why in the world did you do that? Why in the world did you act like that? Why in the world did you go there? Why in the world did that? And I'm fussing at myself all the time. But I reconcile that in myself all the time. so that I'm able to function and accomplish things that I need to function. And the body of Christ is that man. And we have to be able to reconcile ourselves through the blood of Jesus Christ and the bond of the Holy Spirit. And God forbid that a pandemic would divide His body. God forbid that sides would be taken when simply this side is trying to walk with God and this side is trying to walk with God. And maybe none of us got it completely right, but let's go on in the Lord so we can get it right now. And that's what we need to do. And that's what we need to be. I say these things to you because I don't believe this is an accidental pulpit. I don't believe this has ever been an accidental pulpit. I'm not saying prophetic in the sense that I'm a prophet. I do not believe that. I would not hold that to myself. But I do believe that this is a place, a sacred desk, where the Word of God comes forth through me and through other individuals that occupy this desk and speak from the Word of God, that God's Word goes forth and speaks to us. I told you months ago, for any of this ever happened, I came and I told you, King David received a fresh anointing from the Lord. This fresh anointing that he received from the Lord brought greater conflict into his life. When he was a shepherd, he had an anointing to defeat a bear, to defeat a lion. When he became a soldier, suddenly, by bringing in a cart of cheese to his brothers at war, he received an anointing, a fresh anointing, a new anointing to fight a man of war who had strategy and skill. And God anointed him to do that. As his popularity increased and he was rewarded for defeating Goliath, he received a greater anointing now to lead a group of hundreds of men to fight for Israel against a strategized military might called the Philistines. And God gave him an anointing even greater now, not to fight somebody one-on-one, but to fight multitudes of people with strategies and artillery and the ability to fight back. And David had the anointing to lead those men and do war against those Philistines and prevail against them. And then he received an anointing to be king, where now he had to fight even against his own family, his own nation. In every increase of the anointing of David's life, if the people in his life did not receive a measure of anointing in that, there would come a time they could no longer walk with David. They wouldn't be able to keep up. They wouldn't be able to prevail with the kinds of things that David was called upon to prevail. And I believe with all of my heart that the anointing is not for a particular person. The anointing is for the group of people that God has called to be a congregation. God has called that. If God brings an anointing upon a man in his home, if he brings an anointing upon the children in his home, and God begins to anoint a little boy to do incredible things for God, God is going to have to increase the anointing on the father to recognize how God is using my son right now. And have the ability to release his son into the things of God's Spirit. And I just believe with all of my heart, as I told you before this ever happened, God's going to increase our anointing. God is going to increase our anointing. He is going to increase our usefulness in the body of Christ. Over the last few months, he has greatly brought evidence of that. And therefore, it demands that we all increase in that anointing. We cannot go live back and say, I just want to be a shepherd now. We beat Goliath. Let me go back and be a shepherd. Let me live here. Fight a bear every now and again. Oh no, if I'm going to stay with David, I've got to receive an anointing with David. And these guys did. They went out and did so many exploits because the Lord was with them because they were with David. And that was the anointing upon their life. And I want to increase in anointing. I told us, I said, y'all, the devil is going to, he has attacked us. He has brought strategies against our church. This is nothing new. It happens to every church. He's brought strategies against our church. He warred against us. In 2017, these things come to a head. God brings a purging in our church so that the anointing can increase and the body of Christ can go forward. How many of you have witnessed a greater anointing since that moment? It's just a wonderful thing that God is doing. And so he brings that. But the way the devil worked in those avenues was through fear, opinions, and Jezebel. Fear, opinions, and Jezebel. And I told us as a church, I said, be warned, church, that the devil will always come back through the avenues that were once successful to him. And he will come back to us and seek to work through the avenue of fear or the avenue of opinion. The opinion of this side or the opinion of this side. And we will not reconcile. There's a wall we run into, and I'm not crossing over it, and I'm not knocking it down. Or a spirit of Jezebel, which is a murderous spirit, conniving, secretively moving spirit that goes on. And so I say that to us because I believe God wants to do wonderful things in our church. And I'm asking us as a church, as we come through this, let's be one. Let's be united in the Lord. Let's allow the Spirit of the Lord to move. I want to say to you that the only way to know, for me, to know what God is saying and what He will say, is to be able to look back and see what He said. What has God been saying? And when I go through the messages of this church, the people that have come in here, I hear clearly what God has been saying. And that helps me to have clarity in what God is saying. And that gives me light, maybe not a lot, but it gives me enough light to take the next step into what God is telling us to do and go. And that's the harvest. It's not a new message. It's what Gustavo told us. It's what Jared told us. It's what we've been believing. It's the harvest. And that's the next step. Be a united body so we can bring in the harvest. Let's mother the children of God. And so we have to be one in order to do that. We're not home. This is war. This is war. There's no peace down here except in Jesus that passes all understanding. But it's war. Bombs going off everywhere. You can smell it. It's exciting. It really is. I'm loving this moment. I'm loving this moment in life. I'm loving serving Jesus here. There is a word of God. There is the fresh speaking of the Lord. There's the fresh anointing of God. God gives answers in the midst of the need. Right off. It's so wonderful how God is. I love it. I love this moment. But I want to bring peace to you because I want you to know where we are as a church. And I want you to understand these things. So what I'd like to do, this is a little bit different tonight, but I'm talking to you as a pastor, okay? I'm not trying to impress you. Those days of impressing are over. We just have to be real. We have to be serious. When I was in California on March 17th, 2020, this was just beginning. I wrote a letter to you. I want to read portions of this. I want you to understand. I want you to understand what he has said so we can know what he's saying, so we can know what he will say. And this is the direction of God. This is the direction of the Lord. I can only walk with God. I'm not following you. I'm following the Lord. I'm listening for his voice. I will do what I believe he tells me to do. This is the conviction of my life. So this is why, and I just thought this would be very good to read to you tonight. Okay? F&T family, I have no intention of picking a fight with the government. It is not my desire to have a rebellious ministry. What I mean by that is, I do not desire to just be a force within the community that seeks to do what the government does not want me to do. I do not seek that. I seek in every way that we possibly can to do what we can in compliance with everything the government would want us to do. We are not here to pick a fight with the government or purposely deny its laws, of which we will seek to comply. Of which I say to you, as I hold the Constitution in my hands, the law of this land, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, I might not totally coincide with every demand that the governor would want to make, but I will strive to do that in every way that we possibly can. And I have liberty through this law of the land to freely exercise my right to worship God and to gather together. The Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Should make no law forbidding us to assemble. No law, no rule. The government's not to tell me how to worship God. When the Bible says that we are to anoint the sick with oil and lay our hands on them and pray for them, I must, right? And if the government says you can't do that, and God says you must do that, now I have a conflict. And though I'm not trying to be rebellious to the government, and I would try in every way I could to comply, now it has brought to me a place of compromise. I compromise you, the government, or I compromise God and His Word. But in every way that I can lay in submission for unity and cooperation within our community for the good of our community, we're going to do it. None of us want to raise our fist in the face of the government and say, I defy you. No, we don't want to do that. They have authority. God has given them authority. They are ministers of God through election. We are ministers of God by appointment of God. And so we seek to work together to the best of that ability. But the government's not Christian. And the government does not necessarily fear God. And the government does not necessarily know what God's Word wants. And if it did, it may not want what God's Word wants. But then the church is no longer under that jurisdiction. We might suffer consequences for that, but we're not trying to. So I just want you to understand that was said from the beginning. I am very glad I am where I am at this moment, meaning away, on vacation, supposedly, from everyone and every voice. And that's what I meant. So many panicked and prayerless voices are declaring theories and suggestions. It is so easy to be led by fear, to be manipulated by the media, or to bow to the wishes of authority when these directives lack the validity of such hysteria. We have never faced anything like this in the history of the world. I have been desperate to hear God and follow Him. I believe that what is going on is spiritual in its nature and in its intent. I refuse to be led by fear of the very loud rantings of men. I am listening for the still small voice of the Lord and will do whatever He asks me to do. I would never impose my faith on anyone, but I will live my faith. I will. It saddens me to see so much of the church world blindly complying and succumbing to the fear that the rest of the world is in. And then denying that fear by saying they're just being concerned for the good of others. So much of this has the tenor of the Israelite spying out the land of promise and reporting to the nation of Israel that those promises are real, but then saying, we are unable to do it. We must think about our wives. We must think about our children. We must think about our elderly. For there are very powerful forces there that will threaten our well-being and our life. That's what the spies said. This report struck fear into the entire nation of Israel and left them as unbelievers who would not inherit their promise. But Caleb had a different spirit in him, and he believed God, and he would have his promise. Just one man, and Joshua, out of a nation. I believe, honestly do, I believe we are on the verge of everything we have prayed for. I believe the promise, I can smell it. We're on the verge of everything we prayed for, everything we have been prepared for, everything we have seen written in the Word of God. Are our sermons only good in a pulpit? Are they not to be fleshed out in life? I believe they are. Christianity was never more successful than when its blood was being spilled. I'm not afraid of what's going on. The only solution to this problem is found in the church because I believe it's spiritual. We are not going to defy the government regulations right now. Never said we never would, but right now we're not. We don't need to. For this is not in their heart a religious oppression, or we would defy it. I would. I do not want anyone gathering, listen carefully, I do not want anyone gathering in crowds, and this is for unity, okay? This is for unity. I do not want anyone gathering in crowds or attending church by compulsion, guilt, or manipulation. No one is condemned if they choose to quarantine themselves. We are family. We will support and love one another. We will care for one another in this time of crisis. From the very outset. But I say, in capital letters, in the letter, but I say, do not get out of your house and do not go to church unless God has told you to do so. You must live by your own faith. You cannot blame your circumstances or sicknesses on anyone else. And you should only do what you are willing to do by faith. My faith does not assure me that I will not get COVID-19. But my faith does assure me that I will not be ruled by its demonic fear. Whether I stay home or get out, I'm going to live by faith. As a staff, we are closely monitoring the situation. We are in communication with local authorities. Everything we've done has been in an effort to comply. We've had prayer meetings. We called the sheriff from the very beginning and told the sheriff we're meeting in here at prayer. We've got a little bit more than 10 people that are coming. I want you to know what we're doing. He told us how to park. He told us what to do. We did that. And he said, now I'm just saying, if you hear me clearly, God bless you. And it wasn't the head sheriff, so I don't want nobody to send things to him. But it was one of his commanders. And I just said, this is what we're doing. We're not trying to pick a fight. And I said, if you have a problem, come here, ask for me or Jacob Welch, and we will meet you and we will do whatever it is that you're asking us to do. We're not going to fight you. This is what we're doing. And so I said to you, God has blessed us with an amazing staff who is working around the clock to stay informed and to get the information to you. It's been a very hard job to do that. It changes every day. Don't think for one minute the government will give up the ground it has gained over the populace. You're seeing that today. In a lot of places, you're seeing that today. You know, and so we have to understand that. I'm going to read this to you because this is another letter that I wrote that I believe God spoke to me about. So I'm going to read this. I mean what I read in this statement. It is much easier to be led by the voice of fear than the voice of faith. It's much easier. The immediate applause of man, well done, seems more beneficial than the silence of God. God, is this really what you wanted me to do? And he's silent. However, faith is always seen by the one facing the giants rather than the masses huddled in fear. Some people got out of their house and went out into the public because of fear. That's not to judge any group with anything. I have no idea what motivates you. I have no idea what leads you that are here tonight. Could be fear, could be faith. I don't know. I just know that we must seek to be led by fear. Be careful you are not one of the 10 spies who speaks fear rather than faith. God is watching. He is. He's watching. He's watching his church. What pastor has ever walked through this valley before? What pastor? The pastor is compelled to hear the good shepherd and walk after him through this valley of the shadow of death. And if the pastor does not walk with the good shepherd, then how could you ever take his messages seriously again? I was a hireling all along. How could you ever trust me? How could he ever stand before you and preach faith if he did not live his own faith? How could that ever happen? Right or wrong? But hopefully, every father, every mother, every person, every pastor is simply saying, this is what I believe God's saying. This is what scriptures afford me to do. Therefore, this is what we're doing. The pastor takes his orders from above, not from men here below. Whatever he does among men, he is damned if he does and damned if he does not. Don't open your mouth unless God has filled it. Most have spent more time before the TV than before God. Most have heard the logic of scientists more than the God who made science. Most have spent more time thinking rather than praying. Most have spent more time worrying rather than praising. And everybody has an opinion. But whoever it is, hear the man, whoever it is, may not be the pastor. Whoever it is, hear the man who is coming out of the prayer closet, who is getting up off the altar, who has the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because everyone has an opinion, but thank God for those who have a word from the Lord. Speak faith and encourage those who want Jesus to have the preeminence. Speak faith into that. Do those things. Illustrate that. And then I wrote this, and this is the last little article I'm going to read you that I believe was in my spirit to write. And this was a letter called The Man in the Saddle. Listen to this carefully, because this is the unique position that men did not volunteer for this sacred desk. I did not. I was put here against my will, but I would not want any other place. Once you know you're in His will. The church is alive. A living organism. A wild vine. Wild in the sense of unpredictable potential, power, and progress. It is raging with life and possibilities. It cannot be tamed are predicted by this world or rational minds of theological men. It is the steed of God running through this earth and the kingdoms of hell. It is powerful. And God puts a man in the saddle. He puts a man in the saddle of the local church. And he takes the reins to a force of untold power and possibilities, which he himself shudders before with fear. He's scared of the steed and its power. But he is there by divine commission. No two men can fit in the saddle. There is room for only one. Multitudes will shout to the man in the saddle, go here, navigate there. Few understand the fear by which he stations himself upon the dreadful power he sits. But his ear is tuned, not to the people, but to the one who put him there. He listens for the voice by which he derives his ability to lead the powerful church, the voice of God Almighty, not committees or boards. These men in the saddle get replaced. They go home, and another is placed in the saddle. There comes a day that I will put another man in this saddle, God will, and he will have the reins. He will direct this raging life. If he will stay on the foundation I have laid for him, he shall do well. But make no mistake, it is his to do or not to do. He will run it to its death or to its fuller life. God help the man in the saddle. Church, pray for the man in the saddle. It is a difficult task to say, lead it here, lead it there, navigate here. He would look down and say, I have no control. I have no control. God leads it where he will. He leads it where he will. So I just say these things to you because this is the line that we have taken. This is the voice that God has spoken to us with. And we are very concerned. And I would say to you, most importantly now, very clearly to you now, I have never believed the government on this event. I do not believe they have told me the truth. I'm not saying they haven't spoken truths, but I do not believe they have told me the truth. I believe they have hid things from me. I had a real problem shutting the church in. I had a real problem not gathering together. It was almost a place where I was at a place in my life that I can't do it. I'm going against God's word. Don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together, as is the manner of some. Oh, but Pastor, can't we still be a Christian and be at home? Can't we just, you know, have church at home? Can't we just be the church wherever we are? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Absolutely you can. But when Pentecost came, the Holy Ghost only came to that group that was gathered. That's what I know. And though there were hundreds that believed in the Christ, only 120 were touched with that Spirit that moment. And thank God he didn't leave the rest of them out. Praise God. They were able to come as well. You know? So I don't believe what's going on. I understand there is a virus. I believe it is very serious. I believe it is very real. I believe it is contagious. We don't fully understand that. I believe there is an agenda. Do you have that video ready? I showed this to you. I did a sermon through Isaiah 24 through chapter 20. Get it ready. Go ahead and run it. I want you to listen to this. I want you to be very aware of what Bill Gates says at the end here.
I don't want to be political in any way.
Just let it run.
But just in terms of for folks who are out there, you know, and looking forward, I always think it's better to know just factually what's coming down the pike than, you know, then it's good to have hopes and aspirations, but it's good also to know what's actually coming down the pike. For people who are believing or imagining that, you know, in middle of April or early April, people are going to be able to gather together in churches for you know, Easter celebrations or, you know, go back to work in a regular way. It's sounding like you're saying that that's not, you don't believe that's realistic.
No, it's not realistic. The numbers are still going up. That only happens after the numbers have peaked and are going down a lot and getting down to an absolute level. You know, there are some good things happening. The work on a vaccine, although that probably will take 18 months. That's going full speed ahead. Our foundation is funding that. We're looking at getting vaccines to everyone in the world. So in the long run, that is the key thing.
And I just hope y'all hear that. In the long run, that's the key thing. Vaccinations being given to everyone. That's the key thing. And so there's not a desire for you to develop natural antibodies to this virus like we have for the history of humanity. The interest is for you to quarantine yourself so that you will not develop natural antibodies and we can come and vaccinate you with a speedily man-made vaccination, and a lot of people are not going to know what it does to them or really what's in it. But we've already succumbed to that. I'm not saying everybody, but I'm talking about the world. There's a spirit that is in the world. And the spirit that is in the world is the spirit of Antichrist. There is an objective. On MSNBC today, Dr. Fauci says whether or not these ongoing new cases will become a wave will depend on whether, listen, we prepare ourselves from now through June, July, August, and September. There is a strategic preparation taking place right now. And trust me, it is intensive. We have, I quote, we have 4 months to make sure we have in place the system, the test, the capability, the manpower to do the kind of identification, isolation, where we pull you away from everybody, and contact tracing as cases begin to reappear in the fall, because they will reappear. For the kind of contact tracing that needs to be done, you need manpower, government workers. You need people who can be mobilized efficiently to do the kinds of contact tracing we need. If we have that, we could avoid a resurgence or what people would be calling a second wave, says Fauci. And the way things have gone, people says, oh, wonderful, let's do it. Let's get this done. And yet 99% of the people that are affected with this virus, 99% of them that have been infected with the virus recover. It's tragic for those that didn't. It is tragic for those that have battled horrific sicknesses through. It is tragic. But it's tragic when somebody dies from cancer. It is tragic when somebody dies from the flu. It's tragic when somebody dies in an automobile accident. That's humanity. That's just life on earth. I don't mean to lack compassion or be insensitive with that. I don't know if you've studied this. I would encourage you to do it, because our governor is big with this. He's huge with this contact tracing. It's three layers. There's an interrogator, a therapist, and a nurse. The interrogator is going to contact you, and they're going to begin to interrogate you and ask you questions. If you do not give complying answers, they're going to send a therapist to you, because obviously something is wrong with you that you're not complying. So the therapist comes to you, and the therapist wants to know what's wrong with you. Why are you not going along with this? And then the nurse will come later to tell you, you need to isolate yourself. You need to remove yourself. And listen, our Senator Cassidy wants to develop a bill. If it could be exercised into a law that if, let's say you're a single mom and you have been exposed to COVID, or maybe you've had COVID, they're going to pull you out of the house and they're going to put somebody in there for 14 days to watch your kids. That's what they want. Has that ever been done in history? I mean, there is an agenda that is going on. And the release that I got from the Lord in this, the release that I got from the Lord in it was the fact that I read in Isaiah 26 that God showed us that at the end of time, there would be a moment when He would call His church to be shut in for a moment. And that gave me peace through the scriptures. Okay, let's do this. Let's trust to follow the Lord. Then the Lord began to open up Isaiah 24, Isaiah 25, 26, 27, 28 to me and said, this is the work of treacherous dealers. They've got something going on undercover. They want you to look at this safety, virus, everything. And they want you, but I'm doing this to you over here. And that is the pit or the trap that they want people to fall. I believe that completely. I absolutely believe that. I believe it. I have to gather together for prayer. I have to gather together and praise God. I have to be able to lay hands on the sick. I have to be able to care for the body of Christ. I have to be able to attend to the... I have to. I'm not saying you do. I have to. Or you go burn my office. Go Go burn my library. Go burn my sermons. What good are they? I've been a hypocrite for 34 years. I can't do that. This is the line that we walk in. These are the things that we have to do. These are the things that we have to understand. And I just pray that, I pray that you will note that, and I pray that you will get that. I honestly do. I'm trying to pull something up. Just a text. I have waited too long to express how disappointed I am in you not asking the church to wear a mask to protect the older and the weak members of the congregation. The ones your age and younger can be carriers without getting sick themselves. And since all or many of them are still going to work in public, the risk, according to the doctors, is still that this will spread more. I see a lack of respect for the recommendations of leaders and a lack of love for others to not wear a mask. A neighbor of mine said, not to me, I don't need a mask, I got Jesus. And I don't believe anybody's had that attitude here, that I don't need a mask, I've got Jesus. We have done everything that we can possibly do to abide by the orders of the governor, to try to accommodate and comply to the best of our ability as far as we can go. We have tried to do everything that we can do. We understand that there's a capacity limit. We are striving in every way that we can. We have overflow rooms with video screens in there for people to go in there, and we begin to overflow. We have an entire balcony up there, and we've got about three or four people up there that are sitting in the balcony that is absolutely quarantined for social distancing. We've got an entire area over here that is quarantined for social distancing. We've got masks in the foyer for people to wear. It's not enforceable. If people want to wear them, they can wear them. But we have to understand these things that are going on. The Surgeon General said in April, the Surgeon General, Adams, said, stop buying masks. They are not effective at the preventing of the spread of the disease. The CDC and the WHO seem to agree with him, advising against the use of masks, except in the treatment of someone who is sick. Masks might protect you from some droplets, but because they don't offer a perfect seal, the droplets can still get in from the sides or wherever else there happens to be room. Despite inconclusive evidence, the CDC is recommending all Americans to wear a mask outdoors after all. And I'm not saying that that is something we shouldn't do. I'm not saying that we should not wear a mask and we should not respect people and we should not try to help people in these things that are going on. But I want you to understand that they said in this article that typically most masks are not worn properly and they don't fit properly. And therefore, this is not only contracted or distributed through water or vapor or blood through your saliva or through the mucus in you. It's also airborne, they believe. They're not positively sure. And so it's not a 100% proof of this. And so CDC says, to people whose immune systems are compromised, these are the things that you can do to resist the risk of getting sick. Stay home. Stay home. And I believe that's totally appropriate. I believe that is something that we should be willing to do and accommodate in the body of Christ to help one another, to be careful. But we should also exercise in every way we possibly can, not to belittle one side or the other side, but to minister together for the good of the body of Christ. That there's some people's immune systems who are compromised. Mine is. My immune system's compromised. I may not be in the classification of elderly, 65 and above, as they say, but my immune system's compromised. I'm on medication that gives me a great risk of contracting the pneumonia and other types of viral diseases. And so I'm simply trying to do what I believe God wants me to do. I have absolute respect in what somebody else believes God wants them to do. And nobody is making fun of anybody else. And whatever is a priority in a person's life has got to be a priority. But I thank God for the way that He is leading us. We never had a parking lot service till the government said we could. We never had church on the lawn till the government said we could. We didn't meet in this church until the government said we could to that type of capacity. We never did. We had some worship singers and we had people running the videos and a couple of other people that might have been spread around here, but we weren't breaking those orders. We were doing video services of that. We've got masks. We've got gloves. We've got sanitation. We've got isolated places where people can have social distancing and be free from infringement or contact because we respect that. We're doing everything that we believe in the Word of God that we can possibly do. But I want to say this. This is so important. I'm hearing this all the time. And I want to say this to you. Listen to me carefully. There is a spirit of accusation in the world today. I'm not saying it's in the church. It might be. It might be trying to get into the church. But there is a spirit of accusation that is in the world today. And the spirit of accusation is, if you don't wear a mask, you don't love me. And I've even heard some accusations in the world today that if you don't wear a mask, it's like attempted murder. Well, I say this, if you get out, it's like suicide. What's the difference? I'm not trying to make fun. But there's a life to be lived. There's a God to be served. And what if God speaks to this world this weekend through Pentecost Sunday and an outpouring of God's Spirit? What if tens of thousands of people begin to come to faith in Jesus Christ and we say, I'm sorry, you can't come here. We're full. I can't do that. I can't turn somebody away. I'll be here from sun up until the next day preaching to anybody that wants to listen to me. I'll give everybody as much time as we possibly can, but I can't turn somebody away. And I'm not saying any Christian is asking us to do that. There are believers that are saying, please have respect for some of us that are compromised. Wear masks. And I say, do that. If it's possible for you to do that, do that. Some people can't because of their respiratory problems. They can't wear masks. But let us not cause a division within the body of Christ over COVID-19. Let us not cause a rift within the body of Christ because somebody's doing it a little bit different way than I would have done it, or a lot of a different way than I would have done it. And so I want to read this to you because it is the desire of my heart, with all of my heart, to see a move of God in our lives and in our church. And I want to read this to you in Galatians because I believe this is where we all must be. And the Bible says this, the Bible tells us this in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's all we're trying to do, is walk with God. Walk in faith. Whatever it is the Lord is telling me to do, to walk in faith, to be respectful of other people, to love my neighbor, to whatever degree the Holy Spirit is showing us to do that, to sacrifice everything to do it. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. I'm sorry, I'm in chapter 5. In chapter 4, verse 17. For the flesh lusteth. I'm sorry. I'm in Galatians. Now I'm in Ephesians. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And I'm guilty of that. And I sincerely and often need to repent because of my mouth. I don't say that to get me off the hook. I say that because it is convicting. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And be ye therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And that's what we must strive for in the Holy Spirit, to have an ability to forgive each other, to have an ability to be kind to one another, to have an ability to be tender-hearted to one another. It is not uncommon for us to be stubborn and obstinate. It is not uncommon for me to be cruel without thinking. It is not uncommon at all for these things to exist in us. But to be kind and tender-hearted and to speak words of grace and to maintain the unity of the body of Christ is a supernatural event that only God can produce. And I want to ask us as the church, because there are many ways that we all offend each other. And I'm sure that I offend you. I have certainly been offended in my life. But one of the greatest privileges I've ever been able to experience is for God to crucify that bitterness and offense that's in me and to be free from it. And I pray that we could walk together, and I pray that we could close this service tonight with a sincere prayer that, God, we ask you that you will join together a body of believers who will be in unity. There's a lot of things we don't understand, and there's a lot of confusion, and there are definitely sides, God, that have been formed on all of this. But let us not take the side of this or that. Let's just come before you, God. And let us be able to love your body, and let us be able to sacrifice for your body, and let us be able to serve one another, God, through forgiveness and grace and kindness and tenderness. And let us be able to see your Spirit truly be able to move through our church in whatever way you desire it to move. Could we just pray that? Could we just believe that? So would you do me a favor, and would you just open up Ephesians 4, where I just read, and would you just make an altar where you are and get before God. And let us pray, first of all, for ourselves in so many ways that we need to repent. So many things that we need to deal with and we need to do in our life. Listen, I want to be very careful. I want to be very careful how I judge you or how I judge somebody else. To say that somebody does not care because they're not wearing a mask is a critical judgment. But there needs to be an ability within the body of Christ to help each other come to an understanding and agreement about it. Not the fighting and not the arguing and not the accusations, even in the things of the world. Because I'm saying these are the things that are going on in the world, and it's volatile. People are fighting each other over this. And this is the place where the church has to come in and end this fighting. Because this is spiritual. This is an animosity. It is a spirit of anger and contention. And only the Holy Spirit of God can bridge this and heal this and deliver from this. I know I've been guilty of that. So let's pray for the church. Let's pray for the body of Christ. Let's believe God to be able to move and function. And y'all, in this coming weekend, God, let there be an opportunity and let there be a way that you're able to speak to the world, speak to Israel, and speak to the nations. For God's sake, Lord, please do it.